This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman Show, final hour here on the Team 980. Truly our final 45, as we will give way to Wizards and Celtics coverage at 6:45. Dave Johnson will join us coming up at 6:15 to talk about said game. But right now, that means we have to really get going on our pick six at six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
Friday edition of the Pick Six has us pick the players that we think will be most impactful in the game on Sunday. Quarterbacks are not allowed to be selected. Anthony, I got the first pick today, so if you please could.
Number one.
Thank you, sir. And often I try to get really insightful with a lot of the picks here, is use the players to talk about some bigger thing. I'm not going to get too cute here. The most impactful player on Sunday is one of two guys. And I'll go the defensive version. Micah Parsons is number one. And we typically also pick Commanders a lot more than we pick the opponents, although the opponents are always available. But truly, against Dallas, they have two great players, and the rest of their roster is not very good. And so if you can control the output of those players, you're in pretty good shape. And I'm going to choose Micah Parsons just because. I guess you can probably think of the other one that I'm thinking of, and I don't know if Anthony is going to take him next, but we'll find out in a moment. But if you can come up with a plan for Micah Parsons, you are in pretty good shape against this Dallas defense. You can run on them. You can throw on them. Obviously, Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland are guys that are good ball hawks, so you have to be careful of them in some way, but you can also attack them pretty well. And, you know, as long as you're not silly with the football, like, it's pretty easy to move the ball on this Dallas defense. The other thing with Parsons specifically is he no longer is a multidimensional weapon that he was under Dan Quinn. And that is not because he is less of a football player. It's because Mike Zimmer just lines him up at right defense or left defensive end and says, hey, you're a defensive end. So he's going to line up over Andrew Wiley. That makes it pretty easy for Cliff and everybody to slide the protection that way, provide chip help, whatever it is they want to do. You're not going to call some kind of special protection where you expect him in one place, then all of a sudden he's lining up over the center. And that's what used to happen when Dan was using him, like he uses Frankie Louvu this year with Washington. And so Micah, just send chip help at him all game, take out his effectiveness, and you should be good to go offensively. Micah Parsons is number one.
Number two.
Number two, I'm going to go with the obvious second player. He is also a Dallas Cowboy. And that is CeeDee Lamb.
That is the correct answer, Anthony.
Yes. This guy, we already know, has the, you know, chance to, you know, dominate games, take over games, and be a one-man wrecking crew. We've seen it time in, time out again. And I think Washington has, you know, same still. We have a front that's been very effective in getting after the quarterback. I think if we take CeeDee Lamb away and force everybody else to go out there and beat us, I think Dallas will have a tough day. They try to force feed this guy. They line him up everywhere. In the backfield sometimes, they have him in a slide. They have him outside. They want to get this guy involved as much as possible. The offense runs through him. They don't really have a running game. So guess what? They try to air it out and get this guy involved. We take him out. I think that will bode well for us, but that will not be an easy feat.
So here's the reason that those two have to be one and two, if we're being honest and we're not trying to get too cutesy with the analysis. There is almost no scenario where Dallas's defense plays well where Parsons is not dominant. There is almost no scenario where the Cowboys have a good offensive day if it does not run through CeeDee Lamb of having like 16 catches for 240 and three touchdowns. Like, that, he is their offense. Parsons is to a lesser extent their defense. If you want to flip the order for that reason, I would have been perfectly fine with that. I decided to go with Parsons first. But it really is isolation basketball on offense for Lamb. You shut him down, there's not a lot going on.
Yeah.
Defensively, unless you throw a couple of picks to Diggs and Bland, you're and like Donovan Wilson's a good player, Overshown's a good player. Like, they've got some guys, but like Parsons is the guy that'll ruin your day. You limit those guys, you should win the football game. And I think Washington has the capability of doing that.
Number three.
The most important player, I think, for Washington is Brian Robinson. And I picked him a couple weeks in a row here for good reason. Like, he's the engine. And he's also the, to use a phrase I used to use on Take Command all the time, he's the canary in the coal mine. If B-Rob has 18-plus carries, it probably means Washington is winning this game, because it means that they are extending drives, he's getting opportunities, that there are enough carries and enough plays to go around that B-Rob gets to that 18-ish number, which is kind of a magic number. I don't know what the actual number, 17, 19. I'm sure that, you know, if we went back through the carry numbers, we could probably find a number. But it just is indicative of the game flow is where Washington wants it. And he's part of the reason that he'll get there. Like, if he can keep them on schedule, the playbook stays open, and it's going to look like the Washington offense from earlier in the year. If they can't get him going, then we're talking about a very different football game that's closer later than we want it, that has the potential for the defense to fall apart at minute 52 again. And just take that off the table. Just run it down their throats early. Have some dominant drives. Be up 21-7 at halftime. And see if Cooper Rush can beat you in the second half. I like my chances. So Brian Robinson, number three.
Number four,
Craig. I'm going to go with Dante Fowler Jr. I think he is going to be poised for a big game against Dallas, especially if we go out there and do what we're supposed to do. We take advantage in the first quarter, second quarter, we build a lead, and then our defensive ends are able to peel their ears back. I'm coming into this week 12 before, you know, Myles Garrett went crazy yesterday. He was fourth in the league in sacks, so I feel as though this is another game where he can, you know, pad those stats a little bit, get after the quarterback, and have a good day.
By the way, I love Dan Quinn naming Noah Igbinoghene, Dante Fowler, Tyler Biadasz, three former Cowboys, as captain, and then not saying, like, that's the reason why he did it.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, these guys have been playing really tough. They've set an example, like all the Dan Quinn stuff. And then nobody, I'm going to send a group text, or I'm going to show up in that press box on Sunday and be like, ladies, gentlemen, nobody's going to ask about this. Nobody. Cause he's done that a couple times this year. Teams, you know, guys playing their former teams. Luvu against Carolina. You know, but he's found ways to be like, oh, this guy's playing his former team. Let's put the C on his chest for this week. And they certainly did that for these three guys. So means a little bit extra, some familiar faces. And Fowler, you know, he's going to be lined up a lot against Tyler Guyton. And that is a huge mismatch in Washington's favor. Like, Guyton is a rookie who is struggling with his inexperience. And Dante Fowler is a professional pass rusher. And I thought Quinn also had some great stuff on Fowler today in terms of, you know, he's actually grown as a player this year. He's entering like year in double digits nearly in the league, if he's not already in double digit years in terms of experience in the league. But because he's getting to play a lot more as opposed to being a situational pass rusher, he showed a lot more patience, and that's really paid off for him in a major way. So I think it's a great pick, Dante Fowler. My last pick.
Number five.
I'm not going to overthink it. I'm going to go with Jeremy Chinn. And we picked Chinn a couple of times in recent weeks for a variety of different reasons. Like, obviously, he's an important run support player. There's a couple of times in, like, the Texans game where some really well-timed run blitzes are able to get home and have tackles for loss. So there's a chance to make plays in the backfield. But I will say, outside of Lamb, the number one weapons that Turpin's a super explosive guy, but their tight ends are actually pretty good. They've got a couple of good guys there. Ferguson, although Ferguson, I think, is potentially not going to play with concussion. We're still waiting on that final injury report. But Schoonmaker, like, they've got a couple of guys that are pretty good, and Chin's been the number one guy covering tight ends. And so between being a sure tackler in space on a guy like Lamb, making plays in the run game, covering tight ends, like, Chinn has kind of been a linchpin to their defense. And I also just want to mention, like, a couple more games like he's had recently, if I'm Adam Peters, I'm going to his agent and being like, yo, do you want to just sign up now for multiple years? Because he's on a one-year deal, and that's a guy that I'd like to keep around in the long term based off how he's playing.
Number six
for my last pick, I'm going to go with Mike Sainristil. I think he's going to get the task of defending CeeDee Lamb. I think last week against A.J. Brown, granted, he gave up the one big play. But outside of that, he did a good job on A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, just being disciplined, not falling for the double move. And I think they're probably going to end up, you know, bracketing CeeDee Lamb. But when he does have that one-on-one coverage, I have the utmost faith in him. And I think, Craig, for a bold prediction, he gets an interception this weekend.
Oh, definitely possible. There'll be some opportunities. I think Sanders still will probably cover CD quite a bit, in part because, like, if he slides down to the slot, do you want Juice necessarily following him around? But I do think, like, you know, no one's talking about Benjamin St. Juice after the Philly game. He had a hell of a game. Mm-hmm. Sanders still did, too. Sanders still had a couple plays on the ball, obviously, that were great. Juice was just solid. Because, I after the week he had prior, I was like, let me check in on him as I watch the film a little bit more. And, like, he's just locked down. Noah had a couple of questionable spots, but also had some good plays as well. So I think it's a big week for all three of those guys, obviously. Because the biggest thing for all three of them, you have to tackle. Like, CD and Turpin, like, those guys are nasty in space. So you have to tackle, have to tackle. Quan can't be missing tackles. Percy can't be missing tackles. And, like, that's why Chin is so important as well, is because, like, that dude does not miss tackles, or at least he hasn't, knock on wood, you know, hasn't in a long, long, long time. All right. That's our pick six. Six most important players, non-quarterbacks, that we think will affect the game. Commanders versus Cowboys on Sunday. Again, don't forget, after the game, live from Northwest Stadium, Logan Paulson and I have the Take Command post-game show. Subscribe on YouTube at the Team 980 to check that out, or at Craig Hoffman to check that out live. When we get back, Dave Johnson joins us live from Capital One Arena. He's in the broadcast booth ahead of the Wizards and Celtics. We'll talk to Dave next on The Hoffman Show. But first, an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. Time to go back in the old Rolodex. One of my good friends from when I lived down in Dallas, Mike Leslie, who covers the team for WFAA, the ABC affiliate down there. He joins us every year when these two teams square off or when there's other nonsense Cowboys Nation. It was very tempting to call you, Mike, earlier this year when you and one of the Cowboys players had a little misunderstanding that resulted in you getting handed a can of nuts that I don't know that we can talk about in more depth on the radio without getting in trouble with the FCC. Good to talk to you, my friend.
It sounds to me like the bit that you played right before you came back from break that I need in on whatever you're having to have a little feel good going on this afternoon. Or is that from today, or is that old audio?
No, that's an old one. That was about a year ago, probably, or so, when Anthony gave me a look because I bought a pack of gummy bears in the market at our office, and then had the audacity to just call them gummies. And the point is, Mike, you've had a weird year covering the Dallas Cowboys. That's what we're talking about.
Least.
Stay focused. Yeah. I would ask this to get started on a baseline level. Like, did you expect this to be a bad year of Dallas Cowboys football when it all started?
I did not think it was going to be this bad. I did think that they were going to take a step back, but I said before the season that I thought there's still enough talent here between Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland and on and on and on, that they should still at least be a competitive football team. I picked them to go 10-7. Said, I don't know that that's going to be good enough to win the NFC East, but I think they got a chance to be a playoff team this year. So I thought they were going to take a step back, but a small step back. I did not see a team that is almost assuredly going to be 3-8 come Sunday afternoon. No, I did not pick this.
So I think one of the interesting things when I watch them defensively, and I'll give my co-host on my on the Take Command podcast, Logan Paulson, credit, because he deserves it. And he played in the NFL, and I get to talk to him twice a week and get paid for it, which is a sweet gig. Three times a week, actually. But don't forget the post-game show, everybody. He said he feels like Dallas is playing defensively like a team that's still learning the defense, which would be fine if this was week three or week four because they have a new coordinator. That is the reality. But as they moved on from Dan Quinn, not by their choice, as Quinn came here to DC and brought in Mike Zimmer, what has been kind of the big issue or the big issues in them adapting where it still doesn't feel like they quite know what they're supposed to do, snap in, snap out, double digit weeks into an NFL season?
Yeah, listen, I think the first issue, to be fair to this football team, has been injury. When you lose Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence in the same football game for extended stretches, that does matter. And prior to that game against the Giants, which was week four, looking like they were a defense that was still figuring out what the heck they're doing in Mike Zimmer's system weeks one, two, and three, like you said, is, you know, at least on some degree explainable. Now, looking as bad as they did against the Ravens and Saints is harder to explain, especially a Saints team that then after they ran roughshod over the Cowboys, lost seven games in a row and fired their head coach. That one's really hard to explain. But those first couple of weeks, okay, sure. New system, still figuring out what the heck you're supposed to do, what your responsibility is, all of that, fine. And then you lose Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. You haven't had Deron Bland all season. Like, there are reasons why the defense has not been as good. And I do feel like they played a lot better against Philadelphia. They gave up 31 points in that game, and it didn't really feel like a fair assessment of how they played in that game because they were handed a card with the offense playing basically the antithesis of complementary football in that game. The offense went eight straight possessions at the, basically from late second quarter through the finish of that football game where there were three 3-and-outs, three turnovers. They didn't have a possession that lasted longer than five plays. The defense was back on the field every time you turned your head. So the fact that they only gave up 31 almost feels like, hey, you did a decent job to at least kind of somewhat hold back like you're the 300 in King Leonidas. This has been a ridiculous football season for this team. Again, injuries are partially to blame and something of an explanation. But at the end of the day, it all comes back to the offseason that they had. And the offseason that they had was completely insufficient to stock the shelves with any semblance of depth. And the moment they did have these injuries, they were completely cooked.
Do you have Mike Leslie, WFAA Dallas, with us here on the Hoffman Show? Do you have any reason to believe that there is any kind of wake-up call that has happened in the Jones household that this isn't good enough, that whatever they did isn't going to work? Because they did win, coming into the season, 12 games 3 years in a row. I could see why they're like, eh, people can say what they want, but like we clearly know what we're doing. Look at the last three seasons. This year, everything everyone predicted is coming true. So what do you think Jerry Jones at the age of 82 does with that information?
Well, there's a lot of conjecture down this way that the season they're having is of their design. That they said, you know what? We're going to sign the quarterback. We're going to sign the wide receiver. We're going to spend a whole bunch of money this year. We are going to let our coaching staff coach their way through a lame duck season with a roster that's not going to be terribly sufficient and move on from that coaching staff and try and stir this thing back up in 2025. And if that was their plan, it's working brilliantly because this is not a good football team. I don't know that that really was their plan. I'm not sure that that's really what's going on here, but it has there are reasons to point at what they've done and think that it's at least a plausibility that that was the plan because they have nothing in the way of any real depth. Their offensive line is in tatters. It is in some way, shape, or form, it was always going to be inevitable that at some point this moment was going to come for Zach Martin because it comes for everybody. But it does feel like this moment has come for Zach Martin and Father Time has finally one out, and he's not the same player that he was for the vast majority of what is a no-doubt Hall of Fame career. He just doesn't look like the same dude anymore. And you combine that with two rookies on the offensive line, one of which in Tyler Guyton, who has struggled mightily, Cooper Beebe's actually been decent at the center position as a rookie in a position that he never played before, so he's to be commended for a reasonably solid effort this year. But other than that, Tyler Smith has been good. Tyler Smith's really the only offensive lineman that I would truly apply a good descriptor to. The rest of the bunch has struggled significantly, and if you can't move bodies up front, nothing else really matters. And then in addition to that, they really only have CeeDee Lamb in the way of an actual offensive weapon for Dak Prescott or now Cooper Rush to utilize. So they just don't have a whole heck of a lot, and it's showing.
Yeah, to say the least. Last question I'll ask you, Mike. The circus for Jerry is he's always welcomed it. He's kind of the any attention is good attention school of thought. Whether that's correct or not is clearly up for debate. But there are times, and I know this from working down there, like there are times that Jerry has done that in the past on purpose, where the team is not playing well. He will just step out and do something so that we all talk about Jerry, and then the pressure is kind of off the football team, and it's annoying for them, but it's better for them to be asked about him and the coach to be able to be like, ignore that. We're going to focus on us, like whatever our owner, than it is to them be asked about how badly they're playing football. This year has felt a little bit different, like the stuff with Sean and RJ, where he went after them, and the stuff with the curtains. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like this is not intentional circus Jerry. This is like Jerry can't get out of his own way, or Jerry is, I hate to say it, but he's 82 years old, like losing it, Jerry. What's the prevailing thought down there on that theory? Because there are enough people, including yourself, who have covered this team long enough, I feel like, to have some semblance of knowing the difference.
Yeah, there have been moments that have felt maybe a little like I did kind of feel like I'm going to bring up the curtains myself without anybody asking a question about it. We were done. We were all ready to walk away and go into the locker room and start talking to the players. And he brought it up of his own volition. By the way, we know where the sun is. And off we all went with that line of questioning, and why not put up curtains, and, you know, the conversation continued along. We were done. So that one did feel a little bit like, hey, you know what? We just got creamed again. Let's talk about something else. And maybe that was an effort to distract. The moment with Sean and RJ did not feel like he was trying to distract or like he was, you know, manipulating the situation to take pressure off his football team. That felt like a genuinely frustrated Jerry Jones that kind of lost control of his own lost control of himself in that moment, at the very least, and then to double down the next week when it would have been very easy for him to say, hey, fellas, my bad, I was frustrated, obviously I'm not firing you guys, you know, you guys have been great for anything like that, any sort of comment like that. Instead, he offers no apology whatsoever and says, I don't know what all the fuss was about. What? This has been a very weird season for Jerry Jones and for this franchise. And it's hard to make sense of exactly what is going on because, again, going back to this school of thought, maybe they were just throwing this season away to move on from Mike McCarthy and put a bunch of money in this year and what. Is he really in a position where he can throw away a season? Like, actuarial tables would suggest that that's not a prudent choice. I'm trying to find a respectful and polite way to vocalize what you're talking about. Like that, the clock is ticking. That is reality. It's the it's the reality for all of us, I suppose. None of us know when that's actually going to happen. But at 82, it's likelier than it is for me at 37. Like, it just, again, actuarial tables would suggest that. So you're not really in a position where you can be throwing away a season. So I don't think that was the plan coming in. I just don't think that they felt like they needed to go get more. And if that's really what they thought, they were clearly, sadly mistaken because they very obviously need more.
Yeah. Here's the only problem with the actuarial tables with Jerry is there's a large group of people that would tell you that Jerry, somewhere along the line, has already made a deal with the devil. So, you know, there's that. Mike Leslie covering.
He's still kicking around at 106.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, what'd you say about me in 2024 on that radio show, Leslie? That's what I thought. I'll fire you too. Mike Leslie, WFAA-TV.
Yeah, Leslie, now you're a grandfather. What do you have to say?
Yeah, exactly. In Dallas, always great to join us on anything Cowboys adjacent, anything Dallas sports adjacent. Mike, always a pleasure. You making the trip this weekend?
I will be up there. I'm on the charter tomorrow, so I will. We'll have to catch up.
Oh, and nice.
A drink or lunch or something.
Yeah, I'll text
we'll
you.
We'll
get together. I'll be at the game. Maybe we'll ride there together after breakfast. We'll figure that out. Okay. I'm actually in Ohio right now, so I'm not. I will be back tomorrow. But we can text about that off the radio. Mike,
safe
always
travel,
a pleasure, sir. I'll see you this weekend. All right, that's Mike Leslie with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, speaking of my travels, a quick story time before we go around the NFL. A week ago, I was not in Columbus, Ohio. I was in Richmond, Virginia, on the verge of running a half marathon and watching my wife run a full marathon. And then, you know who showed up after we got done running? Anthony Haney did. So quick story time about the marathon, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it because I was out most of this week. Next, here on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show wrapping up on a Friday here on the Hoffman, or on the Team 980. The Hoffman Show wrapping up on the Hoffman Show, Anthony. Buddy, I worked 2 days this week and I only got to work two next week. And apparently my brain's already broken. I got Friday brain anyway.
Wow. That's actually a real realization. 2 days this week, 2 days next week. It's a mini buy for us, Craig.
It is a mini buy for us. I think we've earned it. I think we played a lot of weeks in a row. You know, hey, for me this week, I'll take the double, cause the Commanders got a mini buy into the real buy.
Yeah.
So that I can have two day weeks in a row. Next week we're actually short shows of both days as well that we're on. It's Monday and Tuesday. We got hoops on Monday that kicks us off at 5:30. So we'll cram as much Commanders Cowboys analysis as we possibly can into the hour and a half that we have. And then on Tuesday, we will obviously have the Wizards Bulls game following us, and I'll actually be live at Capital One Arena for that at from 4 to 7. You know, show till 6:45, be in the arena, et cetera, et cetera. I got to double check this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Our guy, Adam Amin, who of course calls the NFL for Fox. He's also the Bulls play by play guy. So I'm going to see if Adam will swing by the table and hang out for us, or hang out with us as well. So definitely excited for that, next week. And then Maryland hoops on Wednesday, Thanksgiving Thursday, Black Friday, Friday. We're off those days. So do take command next week. So you have a chance to talk Commanders Cowboys or hear my takes on it along with Logan. Anthony, who knows? Maybe we'll have you as the guest on Take Command to unload all your opinions.
No way.
Yeah, you're great. Then no way. That's not Logan. Logan wouldn't allow that. I'm just kidding. Logan loves you. He thinks you're hilarious. And you know what? He's right on that. All right. Time to pick the game for the weekend, Anthony. The most important game of the weekend. Prediction is 2-1 Washington.
2-1 Washington?
Yeah. The Spirit are going to win the NWSL championship 2-1 over the Orlando Pride. That is the most important game of the weekend. There's a championship on the line. Come on.
Yeah. We were talking about the Commanders, and then we went to my bad.
I did. Know. I pulled the okie doke on you.
Yeah.
But I'm just getting that out there. My official Spirit prediction: 2-1. They'll take it home. As for the Commanders Cowboys game, look, Washington's favored by 10.5 in this game for a reason. And I know there's been a bunch of like big favorites that have gotten smoked this year and lost straight up, but we've also seen like Detroit win by 46 the other day. And I don't think this is going to be a 46-point game, but like I do think this is like a Washington 35, Dallas 20 kind of game. Like I genuinely just look at the two teams, the way they're playing. And I know it's the NFL and things change and the Steelers just beat the Ravens and they lost to the Browns and the Browns had just lost to, what was it, the Saints? And then they beat the Steelers. Like the NFL, you can't do A plus B, or A is greater than B, B is greater than C, so A is greater than C. Like the transitive property of NFL football doesn't work. But if you look at how these teams are playing, the Cowboys are playing like crap. The Commanders have actually, outside of the Philly game, played really well and then had a couple of things go awry or a guy makes a play. But against the worst teams in the league, the Carolinas, think of all the other teams that they've just trounced this year. Like they've actually been pretty consistent in their performance and the result has just fluctuated based off the quality of opponent. The Cowboys, as a quality of opponent, do not have quality. So Washington should win this game by a bunch. I think they will. I'll go with that score. I'll go 35-20 Washington.
35-20. That's a lot of points, Greg.
It is a lot of points, but like I think that's kind of who they are.
Yep. Yeah, I would love to see this Commanders offense getting back to putting up the numbers we routinely saw them do earlier in the season. I think I'm going to go with the Commanders to win 34-13. That's what I'm going to go with.
Sorry, say that score one more time. I had a headphone issue on my end.
34-13.
34-13. Wow, so you told me it was a bunch of points, then you went with a bigger point margin.
Well, I was more so just saying for Dallas to score.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. You know, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
There's definitely a chance that it's like 34-14. I mean, I wouldn't it be – so Washington has not shut out a team since, like, I think it's 93, like their last Super Bowl season, I think. That's the longest streak of the NFL by miles.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah. What if that ended this weekend?
Oh, because the Panthers did score.
Yeah.
At the end of the game.
Here, let me look it up real quick. Last Commanders shutout.
You think we're about to be that dominant?
It was week 5 of the 1991 season.
God dang.
Anthony, you weren't alive by a lot.
Just 5 years, correct?
Yeah. Hold and up. You're a young man.
You weren't alive. Baby.
I was alive.
Oh, you're 90. You're born in 90.
I was born in 1990. Yeah. Dang. Yeah, I turned 35 in 3 months.
Damn.
From tomorrow? Yeah, I know. Don't remind me. Even though I'm the one that brought it up. And I will have been alive. I was alive for like 18 months at that point.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it has been a long ass time. But that is in play this weekend. The Cowboys offense is boopsie. And by the way, it's on the table like for a couple of weeks here because the Commanders next week, I know they played like the Titans and the Saints coming up, and I can't remember the order.
We play Titans the Saints next week, right? Yeah, we play the Saints. I mean, Saints we play the Titans next bye week, then Saints.
Yeah, and so like the Saints probably going to be a little harder depending because they've kind of figured some things out. But like they could shut out the Titans next week too.
Yeah.
Again, am I picking this? Am I predicting it? No, it hasn't happened in 34 years. Why would I pick it? But I do think it is worth mentioning that is on the table. Yeah. And that way we can just pull this clip if it's right. And if it's not, then we can never mention it again. Anthony, do we have time? We do have time for a real things quickly, maybe?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it. All right, Anthony, I feel like I sent you a million sound bites. Which one was your favorite?
So we have some stuff from yesterday, but we also have Marta from today.
Oh, yeah, this one was good. So I already mentioned the NWSL championship game is tomorrow. The Spirit are looking for their second championship in 4 years. And Marta, the greatest women's soccer player of all time at 38 years old, is looking for an NWSL championship to close out her career. She said today in her press conference that she is playing. This is arguably her best club season that she's ever played, and she's doing it at 38. She had a tremendous goal in the semifinal, and she's been using a water bottle marked Marta's Secret Stuff, just like MJ's Secret Stuff in the movie Space Jam. So she was asked today, what is in the magic water bottle?
Can I just ask, who started the Marta's Secret Stuff water bottle? How did that come to be, and what's in there?
It's water. Nothing super. I just like to have my own water. So that's it. But it's water.
It's literally, she is the MJ of soccer, Anthony. Down to the Secret Stuff water bottle being water. That's all it was in Space Jam.
Yeah, I think that's very on brand for her to, you know, pull that out, let people know who she is. Like, and it's also just a funny bit.
It's a very funny bit. Because it's literally just like in the movie. It's like a Gatorade bottle. It's a piece of tape. Marta's Secret Stuff. And she just wants to have her own water bottle. And yeah. apparently that was something that was not being able to be accomplished by whatever Orlando's athletic training staff. What are we doing that Marta can't get her own water bottle? She's the GOAT. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, it's going to be a lot of fun. And then buckle up, 1 o'clock on Sunday, Cowboys Commanders. We'll be talking about it on Monday. Enjoy the games. Have a great weekend.